welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download a free app on any electronic device, your cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers. And download that free app called TuneIn. And once you download that free app, search WWGH and take advantage of the many programs, talk show programs we have to offer you. If you would like to join in on the conversation today with my guests and myself, if you have any questions or would like to make any comments about what we will be talking about, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Location is LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-0939. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce. They will have this on June the 13th, which is the second Saturday of June. It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. So please mark your calendars if you did not get that message yesterday. Last but not least, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. And the people that I just named as supporters of this program, they have been with me for 5 years. And I thank each and every one of you. I'm not leaving you out, those who faithfully tune in and listen in. And if it's your first time, welcome to the show. I'd like to start out with a thought for today. And this thought is titled, Recipe for Happiness. Did you think we needed a recipe for happiness? I think so, right? Okay, we need 2 heaped cups of patience, 1 heartful of love, 2 handfuls of generosity, 1 headful of understanding, and a dash of humor. Directions: sprinkle with kindness, add plenty of faith, and mix well. Make sure you mix that really, really well, and you keep stirring, stirring, stirring until it all blends out. Spread over a period of lifetime and serve to everyone you meet. Now, what do you think about that, Marie?
Well, I think that is an extremely good recipe to follow. Yeah, okay. Extremely good recipe to follow. I like the God part, of course. You know me. Like having that part in there. But the kindness, generosity, every bit of it, we need it so badly right now.
Don't we?
So badly. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't even recognize United States of America.
I don't recognize anything in the world right now. It's the saddest thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, it is sad. Now, the voice you hear is Marie Harrington. She has also been in and out.
Yep.
Every now and then, my guest, and I haven't seen her since last year, I don't think.
Probably, because my husband got sick in August, and after that, I stopped doing everything.
Right.
Attending him.
Right, and it's been a while, and I'm so sorry that you lost your life partner.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about that, or I won't get past anything else.
That's something that, you know,
some other time I'd be happy to talk to people about what it's like, but right now it's just too fresh. It was only end of February, so it's really very, very, very fresh. And I just took his ashes last week
and
dispersed them where he wanted them, so yeah.
Okay.
So it's really still very, very
new.
New.
It will be new for a while. It just really will. I mean, that's...
Nothing you can do about it. No, you just have to keep on going.
No, you can't.
I just keep leaning into Jesus.
Right. Amen. And Marie has our condolences. She has our heartfelt love. And we appreciate you always and your husband.
Thank you.
Sure did. He was a character.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, he was. And my brother was crazy about him.
Really, yeah, John. I know.
Yes, he really was.
And vice versa. The brother from another mother. Yep.
Go figure, right?
Hey, we're all one people.
I'm glad to say that you did venture out today.
Yes.
And came to be my guest. I thank you so very much. I do. I really do. I want you to know that we love you and miss you and think about you and wanted to come see you, but we're in this COVID thing, right? You can't do much anything anymore, you know. And like we were saying earlier, we'll be so glad when this is over, when we can get back to what we consider our normal and coming out, you know, and being free. Being free. I just want you to be encouraged.
Thank you.
Absolutely, be encouraged. But, you know, I don't know how we're going to get through this. It's going to make you think about your life partner. We're talking about MCI, and we are in the age of coronavirus, and everyone already knows about it. We've all been dealing with this, no matter how far away you are from the radio station, which is in Marion, Ohio, the frequency you may be on your internet, or maybe you are on the download TuneIn app, okay? However you may hear this message, we're all in this together.
Yes, we are.
There's nothing we can do about it. We're just here.
It seems like lately, everything you look at, everything you hear, you can't escape it. Unless you go and turn on an old movie somewhere, you cannot escape it.
That's true.
And it is a constant draw on people's emotions.
Oh, gosh.
On their physical strength.
Yes.
It causes great depression. It's hard to overcome.
It is. It is. It's on top of everything else.
On top of everything else.
You know, you may be able to.
It hit me. The actual shutdown.
Right.
Happened the Monday after the funeral.
Yeah, I knew it was close. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was boom, 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 and then the news came about. At first, MCI was doing okay, and then, and in August, I had to quit going for ministry because of his sickness, and he couldn't go in, and I couldn't leave him alone.
Marie Harrington and her husband had a ministry inside of
the
correctional institution.
Freedom Under the Eagle's Wings, yes.
And you had been doing this for a while, hadn't you?
About 9 years.
9 years, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
About 9 years. And now, truly, I sit at home, and I worry about these guys. They don't have anybody who's allowed to come in there. I wanted to be able to go over with some other Christians and have signs and hold them outside of the perimeter.
Yes, yes.
And I checked on it, and I was told absolutely not. I wanted to just to be able to sing hymns,
right,
hoping that they would hear, because they have small windows they can crack sometimes.
Yes.
And just something that would give them some encouragement,
some hope,
the knowledge that they're not forgotten.
Yes.
You know, and you've got both the main building and you have the camp. And the situation within prisons, not just Marion's, but any prison, you have not private quarters, mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's, when you get into a dorm, the older ones, they have, cells. And most of the time, they're not locked down in those cells anymore. It's not like the days of old, but they have private cells where you only have two, maybe three bunkies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the large dorms, where you can have anywhere from 80 to 110 people shoved in there.
Right.
And head to toe sleeping isn't going to get you very far unless you're not 7 foot tall. You know, I mean, and there's no way they can cross one another in the halls.
Yeah, you're talking about a small area, too.
Yes,
you
know, it's very tight, very tight.
Head to toe. I mean, even if you breathe or sneeze, I mean...
Yeah, no, there's nothing you can do.
Except
for pray.
Right.
And I'm hoping that some of the fellas that were consistently, and I know a lot of them try to listen to this station when they can.
Right. Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that they know that the ministers that come in, they care about what's happening there.
Yes.
And we are concerned for them, and we are praying for them, and we are asking the Lord to keep them as safe as he can under their circumstances. I know that life in a prison stinks.
Yes.
I'm sorry you ended up in there. You know, you did the deed. You got to do the time.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And hopefully when you get out, you won't go back.
Absolutely.
You know?
Please but, don't go back.
Dear Lord, that doesn't give us a reason not to treat them like we would want to be treated if we were ill.
I know.
That's the main point. And they don't have enough, they can't even, to the last of my knowledge, and I'm probably stepping on toes and could get myself in some big trouble here, but to the last of my knowledge, they were having trouble even just being able to get anything from the commissaries, because nothing can be touched, nothing can be sent in. Families couldn't send in boxes, so they couldn't get somebody to send them some aspirin or some anything really that could help them out. And I know meals were cut back to 2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a brunch, and then I guess maybe a bag snack, and then their supper meal. And those meals are not necessarily the healthiest meals they could be eating to keep their bodies healthy through this.
True.
You know, so there is a lot going on. And then when they sent in, I truly know, and I want to make sure I say this, not only about the guys that are in there as prisoners, people, please realize the corrections officers, the nurses, the office workers that go in there every day.
Right.
You want to talk about heroes?
Mm.
They were heroes before, and you didn't even realize it, because they'd go to work, and you have no idea what some of them were put through.
Wow.
You have no idea.
No, you're so right about that.
And they're looked down upon. And they were not there to aggravate the prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to protect each prisoner from another prisoner.
Right.
That's their purpose. If they're in there under the right circumstances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how my husband looked at his job.
Right.
And, you know, and I know a lot of the COs do look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
A very dear friend of mine ended up in hospital with COVID-19 because he went to work every day.
Okay.
Another friend of ours, she has been at home. I haven't had a chance to get back to her for a couple of weeks now. But she had it. And she was not to the point yet where she couldn't breathe all the way. So she's been home by herself.
Has she?
You know, a lot of the family members, when they go to work, when these COs come home, they've actually had to send their children to other homes, other people's homes. They don't have them come home.
They quarantine, right?
They quarantine themselves for safety for their family.
Right.
They, just like us, we don't get to see our grandkids, you know, any of those things. The amount of fear mongering that is going on in the press.
Yes.
And on the TVs.
Ugh.
And I don't even want to talk about Mr. Fauci and his sidekick, or Miss Amy and her sidekick, because it would not be a very good interview. I believe that they're in a true process of stealing freedom. I really do. And that worries me.
Well, something like this could lead.
Oh, it's just a matter of teaching you to fall in place, my dear.
Yes.
Let's teach you to fall in place.
Right.
And once we see that you'll fall in place the minute we yell or click, then you're in trouble.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and they're already talking a virus injection of what's the word I want? Help me here with this, Linda.
I'm trying. I know what you're talking about. What is that called?
Somebody like a flu shot?
Yeah,
a virus shot.
Yes,
okay.
Virus shot, absolutely.
I'll be danged if I'll take it because I don't trust what they're going to put in it.
I haven't even had a flu shot since early 80s.
Well, I had a flu and a pneumonia because Roland was in the nursing home, so I had to go in. And I had to have them to be able to see him in the nursing home and to be able to go in there and pray with others while I was there. So I did get it.
Right. So that would be one more. But
what is in it?
Right. It is optional.
Right now, but what they're saying, what Mr.
You want to make everyone take one. Is that what you're saying?
What Mr. Gates' plan is. There's the back of it. Gates and Soros.
How does he get a chance to say what he wants?
He's part of the world order. Anyway, I'm telling you, this is deep stuff. It's deep stuff.
About this deep stuff.
And it's got nothing to do with the prison at the time, though. It doesn't. But the fact of the matter is, we have to be aware that these things are happening around us.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's why you will see little small groups showing up here and there throughout town with signs mm-hmm. saying, free us.
Right.
Give us freedom.
Right.
We're grown adults. We know enough that if we're too close to someone to pull something over our faces, we know to take our temperatures. We know what to do. And we know if we go in a restaurant, you know, we have the freedom of making that choice.
Should.
Well, as of this morning, I heard our governor state that he's got a task force he started, and they are going to be able to go from business to business, from location to location. And if you are not staying far enough away from one another, if you are congregating, they are going to ticket you. Believe me, I called Attorney Barr. And I left a message. Yes, I did. I know of two other people that are doing it that suggested it, and I wish I would have brought the phone number with me.
No.
But they are calling and saying, hey, do you know what our governor is doing? Because that is taking away our rights. And what the whole thing is back to that injection they want to give you, it would have, it's either they're going to put a chip in it to trace you with. And by the way, they've already traced people by their cell phones because they know where they lived and they can tell where they went to and from. And I got that surprise after running to Tennessee and back.
Wake up, world.
Yes, wake up, world.
What day are we living in?
1892. Is that what that book was written? The book about, you know, Big Brother? Big Brother is here. And Big Brother is trying to be slinky and sneaky.
So there's so much more to be concerned
about. There's much more. And the other thing I was really, before I really started digging into this, I was so upset. I don't like Facebook very much, but I get on it periodically because my family reaches me that way.
Right.
I just can't break them back to being normal.
That is normal now. Right?
The new norm.
Yes.
Chicago. The mayor of Chicago or the governor, I guess, she actually had the nerve to talk about how we need to fall into the one new order. One new world order, because this is a new world. Lady, somebody please go take care of her.
Why are people trying to jump the gun? The Antichrist is not here, is he?
He's probably got feet on the ground with everything else going on. Yeah.
I thought he's supposed to bring all this. Well, it has to have already.
Some of this has got to be
conditioned, right?
Yes. And so anyway, the other thing I'd seen, and this is on national news, it was a picture or a video of a, looks like a watch, but you have to wear it all the time. And it has a tracing device. And it also tells whether or not you had your COVID-19 injection or not. And if you have not, you cannot come or go. You must stay. You can't go into certain places.
They can't do that, Marie. They cannot.
Tell me that I think if this stuff keeps going on, we will be looking at a revolution. in this country.
People are not going to stand for that.
No, America is not made for this. And I know my president doesn't want to see this happen. And I'm just hoping that he is seeing everything that these people are doing behind the scenes. A while back, Melania Trump, our first lady, had told him to be cautious because, I mean, this was on a what do they call them, a blog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she told him, you got to be careful because people in your cabinet are trying to do something that you will do not want to see happen to the United States.
Right.
You know, and you got people that are backstabbing you. Well, isn't that a little obvious from the beginning? So, you know,
yes,
it's been bad.
God doesn't make it easy to be a king anyway. No king has an easy road.
Yeah, well, I don't. One thing I've noticed with our president is he doesn't say, look, country, I'm telling you, you must do this, this, and this. He doesn't say that.
No, he's not that bearing.
No.
He's like the trooper or the cheerleader. And he really didn't. And I don't hold anything against him where that's concerned because he didn't want us to lose hope.
Right.
What would this country have looked like if we had all just
lost hope? And he told the governors, I give you this control.
Right.
I'm not here to control you. If he wanted to be a dictator, he would have dictated.
Yeah.
But that's not his heart. His heart is to keep the country free.
Right. And our rights free.
And our rights free.
Yes. And protect it. Absolutely. Right.
So, but anyway, one of the other things I'd mentioning was I was on the internet that day and I see this, you know, how you can, I guess it's called blogging where you put in your opinion on Facebook. And this lady, Galleon area, I think it was, sends out a note saying, people, whatever you do, stay out of Marion, Ohio. If you need groceries, come here and buy your groceries here. You need to come here because when you go into Marion, Ohio, you're going to be bouncing off of these people from the prison and they are all sick and they are all going to cause these issues for you and don't bring it back here. Marion people, stay in Marion. Don't come here. And I'm sitting on, and I answered her. I said, lady, oh, yeah, because I know how it started in the prison.
Okay.
I said, lady, do you realize one of the men from your town?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Who was an officer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't feel so spiffy in the morning. He's just thinking he's got a touch of the flu or, you know, whatever. And he comes into work. And his position was such that I'm probably going to get myself in trouble. His position was such that, you know, he had to go from place to place to place because he was not a
inside.
Standard CO. He's
okay.
Inside.
Okay.
He's not a CO. He's an officer.
Right.
Okay. And he's going from place to place to place.
So he's pretty high up in rank.
At least high enough that he's going from these different departments.
Right.
And one of the departments, you know, the gentleman that died.
Yes, yes. From Mansfield,
Mansfield. Everybody goes, what happened that he died? He died so fast. I'll tell you what happened. He was a man that took care of the keys.
Okay. To the cells?
To everything. When you go in to the main building there, after you get cleared and you go into the main building before you go through the gates, either to go to the visiting room or the second gate to go into the sanctuary and those things. There is a double gate area.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in an enclosed area with two or three other people. Maybe it's four. And he has all the keys and he has what's known as the man down buttons. He's got the radios. And he hands all of that to everybody.
Right, right.
Okay. He didn't know he was sick.
Oh, my.
And he got it. Because that's
touching the keys.
The person who came in from elsewhere, he happened to, my understanding is, be one of the ones that has to go in there and make sure everything's in place. And that's a very small room, not much bigger than this.
They weren't taking precautions. They must didn't believe.
They didn't.
Was
well,
real.
They didn't know. They at that point, they didn't even know it was there. That man did not know he had it. Until late that day.
Okay.
and he didn't feel so good. They took his temperature. They sent him home. They didn't even know what it was. Sent him to see his doctor. And then the other fellow that ran the keys, he came. He was working that day, and I guess it was just a few days later, he got extremely ill, like at a drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of days, he was gone. Just as easy as 1, 2, 3. He was the nicest man. Jovial, sweet, very nice man. But, you know, as my husband would say, it was his time.
Yeah.
But you can't help
but... He wasn't that old either, was he?
No, not really. No, he was younger than my man.
Yeah.
So, but either way, the point being, I mean, I got neighbors. I can't go visit them because they work there.
Right.
And even though they're all healthy right now. And now here's a kicker, too. They get tested. They've gotten tested once, the workers. How long has this been around? They want tested again. They got to go get tested somewhere else. And they got to pay for it.
Oh, wow. That's something.
Equipment for safety. The prisoners have a hard time to get a mask.
No
they
got
to use it for several days. A mask, a standard cheapo mask, is only good for a few hours.
Right.
Ask
right.
any doctor. So, you know.
I thought our governor was taking very good precautions where that was concerned.
He was in the beginning when it hit the news and everybody was protesting.
Right.
He did stand up and start to do something. He finally sent in the National Guard because the men were so sick. The guards were so sick they couldn't come to work anymore, and they had to be home.
It was like over 100 of them, right? Somewhere close to that.
Well, here in Marion Corrections, I'm not sure how many it was actually. I think it ended up like 55 that actually contracted it.
Okay.
But yes, there was 100 and some, and I don't have the numbers on them. And I would have if this was while ago, but I don't have them. And the only reason I know these things is because I constantly was reading up on it because I was worried for them. The overall situation, one of the things I didn't understand is when New York didn't end up using those outside hospitals. Mm-hmm. Now, New York, they had cold temps too. So they had heaters and things in those outdoor hospitals, right?
Right.
And I thought to myself, why in heaven's name did they not bring those outdoor hospitals, put them inside the fenced gates?
In Marion.
In Marion.
Right.
Or in any of these institutions.
Right.
And take the men that are sick,
put them in
those locations, tend to them, and I know it would have been a pain in the backside for them to do this because they'd have to move around paperwork and knowledge of these things. And I'm picturing this as a logistic nightmare, which is why it probably never happened. But I'm thinking to myself, and I actually put this on Facebook too,
okay.
You know, I'm thinking to myself, people. Separate them. Don't keep them all one on top of the other.
That's true.
Give them a chance.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I thought if they would have only done that, and then, you know, they've got these new things. They use them in hospitals. They're like an ion light or something that kills this virus.
Oh, really?
It'll kill the virus. It kills anything. They use it for SARS.
Okay.
Okay? So these special lights take all of the men out of one dorm. Okay,
separate,
that are healthy.
Yes.
All those that are healthy,
right,
put in one place. All those that are sick, put out in the hospital. Let's keep the healthy. And it's not just Marion. I'm talking about any
all
one of these
them.
Institutions.
That's right, anywhere.
If this can be done and you can move them over, then why don't you move them over so that the sick are with the sick and can get the care they need, because there aren't hospital facilities that can take them all. They're just not available.
Right.
And get them the care that they need. You've got the ventilators. You've got all these things you took to New York. Why couldn't you bring them into these prisons in the enclosed outdoor areas?
Right.
And then take the men that were healthy, move them out of the one or two locks, follow where they are put into, and then sanitize.
Maybe that was too much. They're prisoners.
And then bring them sanitized, bring them back in. I guess the government rather pay for all the medical care.
I guess so.
It makes no sense.
After all, you know, maybe that was their attitude.
No, but it shouldn't be. They're still human beings. And even your president will tell you not one life should have been lost in this. And when people get mad because we've opened up already, and I've got people that argue with me about that, I say, you know what? Either you're going to let the country go completely kaput, and no, we don't look
our
at these.
Our national security is at risk.
Oh, everything is.
That. Yes.
Everything is.
I know, especially that.
Yes, and what we need to do is open up and back our president, use common sense as we walk forward. And it is just such, I know my mind's going 90 mile an hour, I'm jabbering.
That's okay. That's okay.
But I'm just looking at this in such a way that he has said 100 times, not one life should have been lost. And yes, we've lost many lives to the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But now the table is turning. Now we're losing more lives to the violence.
Oh, yeah.
To those that are committing suicide, and people, please don't do that. This virus isn't worth losing your life over. Most people don't even know they got it when they get it.
True. And there are many survivors,
more survivors. But you know what doesn't tell you anything about it? The printed news or the spoken news. Here you go.
Okay.
You got a page on front page, a short part, and the rest is on second page.
Okay.
But and now it's started into another one of the prisons, and how it started there, who knows? Somebody could have gone to visit, who knows? But the fact is, it's all over the place in the prisons, and then the people that work there do have to go home. They do have to go get groceries, you know.
Yes, we do.
It's that, or they're going to end up having to have everything sent into them, and they're going to be kept 724 and incarcerated along with those that are incarcerated, just so they can watch over them. But then that's exhausting them,
right?
You know, and an exhausted body. I mean, I know these guys were working double shifts, 2 and 3 days in a row, and their bodies become exhausted. They can't fight.
No, they can't fight.
That health. I'm not talking about physically fighting. I'm talking about your health can't fight. And so,
less emotional.
Yes. And so when you become emotionally stressed.
Right.
I'll tell you, even my daughter, who works at a Kroger's, is so stressed. She can't sleep at night.
No, I can't either.
She is constantly scared. She is, she'll be working and she's, she'll be filling shelves or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and people will just stand right up next to her, start talking to her, reach over her, start coughing or hacking or sneezing.
That's awful. They don't even think. No.
They don't think. People,
I think
this is just a matter of common sense. And there is no one out there, no one, I don't care how poor, I don't know how, care how ignorant.
Right, right.
That should not have some common sense.
True.
When something like this is happening around us.
You'd think so.
You'd like to think so.
That is so wow. I want to read a little bit about this. I'm so glad you came. You got a chance to get out a lot of stuff that, you know, that's
oh, this stuff's been
there.
Bugging me something fierce.
Well, I called the right person for the show today, didn't I? And she brought in a newspaper clipping.
That's this morning's paper.
Okay, this morning's paper, Marion Star. Eastern Ohio Prison is new hotspot, so someone has taken our place. Marion Correctional Institution here in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
And it says, emerging as the state's latest prison hotspot for the coronavirus, as COVID-19 cases soar and conditions at the minimum to medium security facility in Eastern Ohio deteriorate. And like you were saying, why didn't they set up those portable hospitals to separate this and be, you know, be aware of this?
The only reason I can think of is because of the logistics of keeping all of their records straight. Who's where? Because they have to do that.
Right,
they have to know where they're at every moment of every day.
Right.
Officers literally have to call in every so many, is it every half hour or every hour, to verify their count.
Wow. Hotspot. It says that since Belmont's first positive case of an inmate on April 13, 132 inmates and 66 staffers have tested positive.
That's right.
30 inmates and one staff member just 2 weeks ago. And on Tuesday, Belmont reported its first COVID-19 fatality with the death of inmate Ronald Wanyurka, 62, of Cuyahoga County. Statewide, 58 inmates and two prison employees have died. That's a lot.
It's a lot of people. It is a lot of people. That's a lot. And actually, that's the largest number, the biggest part of the count of Ohio's.
Because we didn't have
cases.
Any deaths here.
Yeah, no. The cases, most of them are coming out of the prisons and also the federal, which is not listed there. But there is a federal prison somewhere around here. Not in Marion County, but, you know, somewhere in Ohio. And they also have it. And so it's those counts that raise the count of Marion, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would not have had the high counts we've had.
True.
And people need to realize that. Don't be afraid of one town or another. It's out there.
It's out there.
My son actually called and said, "Mother, I don't want you going outside of the house. Don't breathe the air outside." I says, "Listen, who is it that always told me not to walk in fear? You did."
Right.
"Well, I'm not going to walk this out in fear."
We can't.
If that's what God is going to use to take me home, then that's what he's going to take.
What can we do to stop it?
Nothing.
And see, the frontliners say the virus almost certainly is more widespread than reported because the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections is no longer conducting widespread
testing
in prisons. Instead, the state is primarily testing inmates exhibiting symptoms of the disease. Correction officers at Belmont complained that they aren't given adequate personal protection equipment.
Correct. And on the next page, I think, the union representative speaks of why is it when you go to the hospital, you've got the N95 mask.
Right.
You've got a gown up. You've got a face protector.
True.
You know, but they don't have any of that as officers within this system. And the nurses there don't have it either because you have very small infirmaries in each one of these prisons. True. They can't hold but so many people.
They don't have respirators either.
No.
A lot of those deaths could have been probably avoided if they had to set up the outside hospital, which you have brought to our attention.
Right.
And I didn't even think about it myself, but that was really a cure.
Well, I don't know that it would have been a cure,
but they actually say
that they have found that it really doesn't flow through the air. I mean, yes, there's a distance when somebody sneezes or coughs, but it doesn't just sit in the air everywhere and accumulate. It dies off.
Right.
It does die off. Just like they have found out, hey, guess what? It's not in the water. So by golly, hopefully, maybe they'll open a pool or two.
Well, I think they are.
You know, and let you go to the Y. But still, when you're there, don't congregate in groups of 20. Don't come if you've got a fever. Don't come if you're coughing and hacking. And don't send your kids if they're sick just because you want them out of your hair.
Right.
Get a lock for your bedroom door instead, you know? I mean, it's just, and speaking of children, that's another thing. They're frightened. They are just as frightened as their parents are.
Yes.
And they may be acting out, and that may be causing more, you know, child abuse and
domestic violence. On the rise. People
everything.
Getting more nerve pills. I mean, we're all on edge.
Yes. Yes, we are.
You feel okay for a minute, but then when reality sets in, you got this quivering in your stomach.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
And a constant, like an acid.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm thinking, hey, acid, okay, I used to not want you around, but I heard that that's one of the things that keeps COVID out of our systems.
Really?
Now, it's one of the things I heard from a viral physician. I thought, oh, all right, well, I'll take that acid. Give me some more tomatoes. No.
Whatever's causing it.
Whatever,
right?
It is, whatever it is that I keep it. I believe that the Holy Spirit, and Lord God, I just pray that the people that are out there can hear me.
Amen.
If they don't know you yet, if they're walking around in constant fear, I pray that they call on the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And that they bend a knee to you, Lord God. And they ask that you come into their hearts and make their lives right.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, so that they can walk through this thing, because this is a time where the only thing that's going to save us is you. That's it. Just you, Lord. So, and I want the Holy Spirit to be available to them. I pray that the Holy Spirit just nudge their hearts. And because, you know,
Amen.
People, the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us.
Yes,
and if
does.
We pay attention to what he says, if he's calling your name and telling you to not go in that door because that door is dangerous,
right.
Then don't go in
don't
that
go
door.
In there.
If he's saying don't eat from this restaurant because it's not a good idea,
right.
Don't go in because, gee, that's what I want. Change your mind.
Yes, change your mind.
Because it's as crazy as that sounds to people who don't know God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that can save your life.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you don't know him yet, I'd hate to be wrong at the end times and have to be through worse than this.
Yes, which is on its way.
This is just the beginning.
It's on its way.
This is a foretelling.
Yes, it's on its way.
It's a foretelling.
Make no mistake, it is on its way.
That's right.
You know, because if it's not this, it's going to be something else.
That's right. That's right.
And things are happening closer together.
Yep. The floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes.
Last night.
Yep.
And when this virus hit, was it February? They had that terrible tornado down in Mississippi. And I think there was like close to 10 in one area just hitting and tearing out.
And I think last week somewhere in wildfires broke out in Florida.
Yeah. So today is the day. The Lord said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart.
Harden not your heart.
Become supple. Yes.
Call forth his name.
Today
call him into your heart. Tell him that you give yourself to him. You know that he is your Savior. He died for your sins.
Right. Because right now, unless the Lord have mercy on us and give these doctors the precise prescription.
That's right.
This virus is going nowhere. We're out of time, believe it or not. I have so enjoyed you today with your beautiful self. I'm so thankful that you came. Marie Harrington of Marion, Ohio. Wish her well. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. So next time, be blessed and enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Do what you need to do and distance. So we'll be talking to you next week. God bless. Thank you.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that may sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here. It's done. And what she said, and I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of